May God open our hearts and our ears that we may hear and respond to his word to us this morning. Amen. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So said Paul, which inspires my sermon this morning, this Remembrance Sunday, and I want to talk about sacrifice, death, hope, and new life. In 1966, not long ago for some of you, my ship docked in Rangoon, Burma. A party of young officers and cadets were taken to the Imperial War Graves Cemetery just outside the capital. Well, it was the capital in those days. What struck me as I came towards it was the monumental entrance arch framed by walls of sparkling granite edged by brilliant tropical plants. Stepping through the archway, I experienced a visual shock. Planted in the lush tropical green grass, serried ranks of white headstones marched into the distance, filling my vision. Gardeners toiled quietly in the colourful flower beds. I wandered among the gravestones of British soldiers who had fallen fighting in the Far East a mere 20 years before. The headstones recorded ages so similar to mine, 18, so young. It was the first time I had come face to face with my own mortality. And these young men had died so recently so that I could stand there freely in the bright tropical sunshine, making my life choices, carving out my career, choices denied them. What would I do with the life that I had been given that would honour their sacrifice? 20 years later, I find myself in Archangel, Russia, the only visitor to a forgotten corner of another Imperial War Graves Commission cemetery. These men had died on the freezing World War II Arctic convoys. Able seamen were buried next to officers and lords, equal and united in death. The hopes and dreams of the parents of their children had died in these frozen Arctic wastes. Over the last 20 years, I had continued to live my life freely as a deck officer and had seen the world. As I continue to exercise that choice, I ask myself, what have I done? And what will I continue to do with the opportunity to choose that Christ has given me, that these dead soldiers and sailors gave me? My salvation is my faith in Christ, yes, but my life must reflect that faith, my heart must respond. What evidence would God observe in me that would convict me in his court? It's a question we are all asked to address to ourselves each and every day. It is such a privilege to be able to choose. I'm deeply conscious of this privilege of choice today on this Remembrance Sunday, 74 years since the end of the war in Europe, 75 years since the end of the war in the Far East. Whilst we may be glad that peace has reigned in Europe over the last 7 decades or so, and piously hope that war will never break out again, we are in danger of that modern psychological blindness, willful ignorance. 1,000 US soldiers patrolling the Turkey-Syria border have been withdrawn, which has allowed other nations more hostile to peace to fill the gap. These soldiers were, by their resolute presence, saving the lives of countless Syrians, lives which are now being lost. War is resurgent when the good are turned away from doing what is right. Why do we? For the British government operates in our name in a democracy, as this upcoming general election testifies, or should testify. Why do we allow wars to flourish in every corner of this world, and add fuels to those fires by selling weapons to warmongers? How much responsibility do we as individuals bear when we turn our backs on the causes of war. There is so much that we as children of the resurrection, as Christ calls us, could and should do in the fight for peace. How will our hearts respond to Paul's prayer that came at the end of our first reading, that our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father comfort our hearts and strengthen them to do every good work and word? Today's readings invoke a clear thought in me that we must, through the way we live our lives, make use of the freedoms that we have been granted. And so be prepared for that final encounter with our God. What precisely we are called to do is unique to each and every one of us. We are to examine our hearts, examine our consciences. What will God have observed in our lives in the way that we have carried out his will, his work, and taken forward his word? He will ask us that when we meet him, when our time has come. And when will that time come? Paul writes to the Thessalonians to answer their questions about when they wondered when their encounter with God would be. When would Christ return? When would it happen? Would it happen soon? Paul tells them not to panic, not to be taken in, not to be alarmed. Paul in Thessalonians 2:6 tells us quite clearly that Jesus will be revealed when his time comes. In other words, in a time of God's choosing. God's choosing. What gives us courage as we wait for that time, that reckoning with our Maker, is that we know that God has chosen us, you and me, from the beginning. We are set apart, sanctified by the Holy Spirit through our faith. That is our belief in Jesus, who is the truth. We are to hold fast in the face of negative thoughts which come from Satan, who attempts to lead us away from this truth, that we have been chosen by God and we will dwell with him in the age to come. That is the reassurance that Paul presents in Thessalonians. And as Paul comforts those Thessalonians, we are to comfort each other with the knowledge that God loves us, Jesus loves us. And with that great hope, we are strengthened in our daily lives. Strengthened to do what? Strengthened to do good work and spread this good word. The Sadducees represent for us all those who do not believe in the resurrection. The story of multiple husbands quite clearly shows that they think the resurrection is an absurdity. So Jesus explains that the resurrection, the age to come, is the state of being far beyond such earthbound considerations of multiple husbands. Using the book of Moses, that the Sadducees regarded as the founding document of their faith, he helps them see the truth. That God is God of the fathers of the nation, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, still. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. For to him, all of those fathers are still alive. This is our God. He is the God of those who have lived an early earthly life, but have passed on, and now risen through the power of Jesus to the splendor of a heavenly life. We've no idea what this life will look like, but the idea of it electrified Paul and inspired him to express this mystery that is yet to be revealed in vivid imagery. He compared the new life to come to be like a seed that is sown, which through its death produces something utterly different. So we in our earthly splendor will rise one day to a heavenly splendor. We read in Corinthians 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." On this Remembrance Sunday, we reflect on the sacrifice of soldiers past and present who gave and who continue to give their lives in wars fought across the world, so that others may be free of the evil of violent oppression. We focus our faith on the teachings and sacrifice of Jesus, thinking deeply on all that that means to us when we in our time will encounter our God. We give thanks that God our Father, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, gives us eternal comfort and good hope. We give thanks for Christ by living out a good life for him, fighting with all our might to bring Christ's peace here on earth. Handel was inspired to set to soaring music these majestic verses written by Paul to his beloved Corinthians. May Handel's music inspire you to grasp afresh the deep hope offered by Christ, a new life with our God, heralded by the last trumpet.